Philip Yancey relays a dreadful story from the NBA. Bob Gross wanted to play in an important game despite a badly injured ankle. Knowing Gross was needed, the team doctor injected a strong painkiller into his foot in three different places. Gross did start the game, but after a few minutes, as he was battling for a rebound, a loud snap could be heard throughout the arena. Gross, oblivious, ran up and down the court two times, then crumpled to the floor. Although he felt no pain, a bone had broken in his ankle. By overriding pain's warning system with the anesthetic, the doctor caused permanent damage to Gross's foot and ended his basketball career. Pain is not God's great goof. The sensation of pain is a gift, the gift nobody wants. Tonight, are you hurting? How are you responding to the pain? After an extensive tour of the U.S. 50 years ago, the well-known German theologian Helmut Thielicke was asked what he had observed as the greatest deficiency among American Christians. He replied, "They have an inadequate view of suffering." That's even more true now. I want to talk about the pain that perfects. Pain is not always our enemy. Peter rebuked Jesus, imagine that, when Jesus predicted his passion, Matthew 16:21. Jesus diagnosed our difficulty when he told Peter, "You are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men." Jesus tells Peter and us, "Oh, by the way, you too have a cross." Matthew 16:24. "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." But what does Jesus mean? Cross-bearing means courageously confronting the trials, troubles, and torments that come when we're honoring and glorifying God. The gospel plan: cross first, crown later. Hebrews 12, verse 2. The captain of our salvation shows us the way. Hebrews 2, verse 10. "For it was fitting for him to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." I like the Jewish proverb, "I ask not for a lighter burden, but for broader shoulders." Knowing Jesus identifies with us will give us broader shoulders. We know he knows. Hebrews 4:15 teaches that we have a high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. Jesus feels our pain. We see Jesus' anguish as he prepares for the undiluted ugliness of the curse incurred in the Garden of Eden. Pain, loneliness, shame, dread, enemies, rejection. Matthew 26, verse 37, "And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death.'" Luke adds, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Hebrews 5 verse 7 reveals more misery. "He offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears. Not a lash nor a nail had yet penetrated Jesus' flesh, but he was in pain." Jesus' prayers and tears were accompanied by vehement cries. The King James Version says strong cries, but elsewhere that word translated strong in the King James Version is translated boisterous. The New American Standard has loud crying. Ever prayed with vehement, loud, boisterous crying and tears? Was Jesus' pain good or bad? It was bad that an innocent man faced the abuse that we had coming. But Jesus both taught and learned something in the process. Hebrews 5:8. "Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience, compliance, submission by the things which he suffered." You know, you can teach a dog to obey with a Scooby snack. That's no big deal. Hence the point of Satan's attack on Job. And listen, I'm not much of a Christian if God can only get me to do the things he wants me to do if it brings instant or certain rewards. A bigger house, a nicer car, a better job, or even a pat on the back. On the other hand, the Lord knows he has a devout disciple. When I do his will, even if it means financial difficulty, physical discomfort, considerable inconvenience, or even a stab in the back. As we read on, we see the beautiful, if unexpected, product of pain. Perfection. Hebrews 5:9. And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. In order to be a perfect high priest, Jesus had to know pain and adversity to sympathize with you and me. Jesus blessed us through the pain and suffering that he endured. But what about my pain? Blessing or a curse? Yancey writes, the older books on the problem of pain by Aquinas, Bunyan, Dunn, Luther, Calvin, and Augustine ungrudgingly accept pain and suffering as God's useful agents. We don't get much of that anymore. But some people do challenge us to revisit the benefits of pain. Benjamin Disraeli said, there is no education like adversity. We call that the school of hard knocks and learning the hard way. Someone wrote, sometimes you must hurt in order to know, fall in order to grow, lose in order to gain, because most of life's greatest lessons are learned through pain. Harold Kushner, the famous rabbi, writes, pain is the price we pay for being alive. When we understand that, our question will change from why do we have to feel pain to what do we do with our pain so that it becomes meaningful and not just pointless, empty suffering. The athletic metaphor, no pain, no gain, points to strenuously exerting oneself to the point of discomfort. Who came up with that? Benjamin Franklin said, there are no gains without pains. Jesus taught, though, in Luke 13:24, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. Interesting to me that the word strive here comes from the Greek word agonizomai, from which we get the words agonize and agony. Thayer defines the word to enter a contest, contend in the gymnastic games, to contend with adversaries, fight. Metaphorically, to contend, struggle with difficulties and dangers. One truth here, you're not gonna stumble into heaven on accident. We're in a battle down here. Satan is a nasty adversary. And if you fight the good fight, you will have to push through the strain of all kinds of adversity. Expect it. Someone has said, don't let pain define you, let it refine you. Pain can make you bitter or better. Many Bible students go through life kicking and screaming in response to pain, as if they're oblivious to God's decree to Adam and Eve of the suffering because of sin in Genesis 3:16-19. Unbelievers, worse, insist that no loving God would allow his creation to suffer such pain and heartache. Of course, God planned for us to enjoy a paradise environment. God blessed man's beginning with a place of perfect bliss and will grant heaven to those who return his love with faithful obedience. Unfortunately, Adam and Eve did not value their pain-free utopia. They heeded Satan's suggestion of dissatisfaction and disobeyed God's one command. By opening Pandora's box in this act of rebellion, Adam and Eve unleashed on mankind everything unpleasant in our world. Pain is inevitable. Some Christians go contented with their struggles against sin, thinking if only they lived the life of the rich and the famous. Don't be snookered by the laughter and frivolity of celebrities. Listen, they're wearing masks, and those smiles fade quickly off camera. Romans 8, verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also have, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. Everyone groans, no exceptions. The Christian has hope, though, of something better. The rest do not. The whole world tonight is running away from pain, trying to dull the pain and make it go away. The physical pain of arthritis, cancer, migraines, etc. The domestic pain of infidelity, divorce, abuse, and neglect. The financial pain of unemployment, hunger, deprivation, inadequate housing. The emotional pain of feelings of insignificance and inadequacy, loneliness, and rejection. The spiritual pain of guilt and shame because of sin and rebellion. Google celebrity suicides. Not now. The list is so long that they have groups of names cataloged by a different letter of the alphabet. Robin Williams had wealth, fame, popularity, yet committed suicide. Whitney Houston, the most awarded female artist of all time with 200 million records sold worldwide, ironically sang the Grammy-nominated song, "Didn't We Almost Have It All?" Houston drowned in the bathtub. Cocaine and drug paraphernalia was found next to her corpse. Didn't we almost have it all? You can't have it all without Jesus. The world tries to drown the pain with pornography and illicit sex, alcohol and drugs, gambling and violence. School shooters desperately seek to numb their own pain. But then, even Christians, in order to ease the pain of reality sometimes, go overboard with activities harmless in themselves, sports and recreation, music and movies, computers and cell phones, video games and social media, work. What's wrong with us? Blaise Pascal, the brilliant French mathematician, offered his diagnosis. All of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone. Sounds like 2019, doesn't it? He wrote those words 350 years ago. Man still has the same issues. C.S. Lewis wrote, "God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world." Pain gets our attention, doesn't it? As pleasurable as life can be, especially in this country, all kinds of pain remind us that something is wrong with our world. In extreme cases, pain, of course, physical pain, is intolerable without meds, but many of us can and should face our pain. Man gives pleasure and ease high marks. That's what it's all about, while avoiding pain and adversity at all costs. The cross teaches us, though, to look beyond the shallow and the superficial. Moses did, Hebrews 11, 24 through 26. We must view adversity differently, even to make sense of Jesus' first words in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, verse 11, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake." Pain perfected Jesus for his great work, but here's the real payoff. Did you know the Bible also teaches that pain perfects the child of God? 1 Peter 5, verse 10. "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." This verse and those preceding teach that through suffering, we learn humility, dependence on God, and an awareness of Satan. The pain of loneliness and emptiness make us crave God's love. The spiritual pain, the guilt we develop from sinning makes us long for forgiveness and peace. Only the great physician can kill the pain. Finally, one more time, Hebrews 5, verse 9. "And having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him." Come to Jesus. He can heal you.